knows where, who knows where. But I'm strong, strong enough to care.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High and abides in the shade of the Almighty says to the Lord, "My refuge, my stronghold, my God in whom I trust." It is he who will free you from the snare of the fowler who seeks to destroy you. He will conceal you under his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the plague that prowls in the darkness, nor the scourge that lays waste at noon. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Welcome to Alive. This is Claire here, and thank you once again for joining me. If you have just listened every now and again, and you haven't listened for a while, you'll realise that I'm on my own now. Sadly, my gorgeous co-host Gary died a few months ago, so I would like everyone to continue to pray for his soul. And of course, if you have the opportunity to even have some masses said for the repose of his soul, my dear darling friend Gary, always remember him in this program. Now, if you have listened over the last few years, I did it for 11 with Gary, and he did it for 13 years before on his own. So the program's been going nearly 25 years. And you'll know that there are some themes that we continue to stress. One of them is that we are pro-life. Two, this is a Marian program, so we are always promoting the apparitions of Our Lady and the messages of Our Lady. And of course it is Our Lady prayers to her. Someone said to me, why do you place so much emphasis on Mary and the Catholic Church when you pray? And I said, well, you know, when you have a problem, you often ask your friends to pray for that particular problem for you. And that's what we do when we ask Our Lady to pray and present our prayers to her Most Holy Son. I mean, he's a really good Jewish boy, and he can never refuse his mother, so the greatest advocate in the world. The other thing we always promote, of course, is Fatima, because this is the 100th year of Fatima, and Our Lady's message is incredibly important. One of the main things of the message, which I spoke about last week, was the first five Saturdays, but one thing that she asked the children when she appeared to them over those six consecutive months, she said, pray the rosary every day. So we are always promoting the rosary. In fact, the prayers that we say, the Our Father, the Hail Mary, of course, are from the rosary. So I'm just going to concentrate on the rosary in this program today, because some people don't really understand the great power of the rosary. And you don't even have to be a Catholic. If you're a non-Catholic and you're listening, please just stay tuned, because this is a prayer for everyone. Okay, so some of the things about the rosary. Now, there is a solution, Our Lady of Fatima's peace plan from heaven. If people do what I tell them, there will be peace. And when you've got the likes of the US and North Korea, you know, going backwards and forwards at the moment, and Trump sort of upping the ante, you know, we need peace, that's for sure. And one of the things, of course, I just mentioned, Our Lady said, pray the rosary every day. Now, Pope Pius IX said that the rosary is the answer. Now, Saint Pope John Paul II has said exactly the same. The answer is the rosary. And Saint Dominic and Saint Francis and that famous meeting in Rome way back in the 1200s, the rosary and the scapular, I will save the world, and that's Our Lady. Okay, so I'm just going to give you a little bit of a background on the rosary, and then I'm going to give some examples. So these are just from my own website. If you want to check out my website, it's www.FatimaRosaryPledge.com. Can't even remember my own website. Say it again. www.FatimaRosaryPledge.com. Really worth checking out if you want to learn more about the rosary. So there's no doubt whatsoever that the world is being attacked on every front, whether it is on a national or international level, between religions and ideologies, and even right inside our homes. And that attack is increasing and becoming clear that only a supernatural weapon will bring the world back from the brink of utter devastation. The world desperately needs peace, and Our Lady of Fatima has the ultimate peace plan from heaven, the Holy Rosary. And just imagine the power and graces unleashed from heaven. If 10% of the world's 1.3 billion Catholics pledge to pray the rosary every day, well, just think about it. And let's not forget the many non-Catholics who pray the rosary as well. So what we really need in the world is actually an international rosary crusade, a tithe. Sister Lucia told Father Fuentes in December 1957, "Look, Father, the Holy Virgin in these last times in which we live has given a new efficacy to the recitation of the rosary to such an extent that there is no problem, no matter how difficult it is, whether temporal or above all spiritual, in the personal life of each one of us or of our families or the families of the world and religious communities and even the life of people and of nations, that cannot be solved from the rosary. There is no problem, I tell you, no matter how difficult it is, that cannot be solved by the praying of the Holy Rosary. With the Holy Rosary, we will save ourselves, we will sanctify ourselves, we will console our Lord and obtain the souls. Sister Lucy asked Father Fuentes, "How long is it until 1960? Our Lady was sad because no one listened to her message. In fact, the children never saw Our Lady smile. Sister Lucy continued, "A chastisement was imminent. The devil was in a mood for a final battle with Our Lady. We would all have to take sides. Either we were for good or for the devil. Sister Lucy's mission was to warn people that if they persisted in their sin, they would lose their soul, and Our Lady would not actually say it, but the children understood that these were the last times. However, our Lord in his mercy was exhausting all means to ensure our salvation. He gave humanity two last weapons. After this, there would be no more. The first one, the Holy Rosary, made more efficacious for these times. And the second, the devotion to Our Lady's Immaculate Heart. If we didn't listen to any other warnings, so our Lord sent his own mother. Our Lord does not like it when we disrespect his mother. If we reject these means of salvation, there would be no forgiveness in heaven. The devil knows how to get the most souls into hell. He goes after the consecrated, leaving the sheep abandoned, lulling them to sleep. We would either be saved together or damned together. And as well as asking the Pope to consecrate Russia to her Immaculate Heart, Our Lady asked Sister Lucia to propagate the communion of reparation, to go to Mass for 5 consecutive months on the first Saturdays, make a worthy confession in that week, pray the Holy Rosary every day, wear the scapular, Our Lady's uniform, but make sure we have it enrolled with the Carmelites first, make reparation and offer sacrifices for our own and other people's sins, and live our daily life well, that is to be heroic, given that we all have difficult lives. When enough people did this, Our Lady said, there would be a wave of grace over the world greater than the wave of evil." So I'm just going to go through now some of the examples that the Rosary has helped bring humanity back from the brink. So in the 12th and 13th, had the Albigensian heresy. So the Albigensian were destroying the minds of Catholics by saying that the body was evil. And suicides were common. So there was a rosary crusade, and the Albigensian heresy was overcome. And then, of course, in the 1200s, I told you, Our Lady gave St. Dominic the rosary and said, "One day through the Holy Rosary and the scapular, I will save the world." But after a while, the people forgot about praying the rosary, and this was the era of the Black Death, the Great Schism, and the Hundred Year War. In 1460, Our Lady appeared to Blessed Alain de Roche and asked him to re-establish the devotion to the rosary, and it became his special mission. Then we have the Battle of Lepanto. So this is really worth talking about in depth. Now, it was in 1571. The great naval battle of Lepanto on October the 7th, 1571, pitted the entire forces of Christendom, the Holy League, against the most formidable and determined enemy, the Turks. The victory at Lepanto is one of the most significant events in the Catholic Church's 2,000-year history. The Holy League, under the command of Philip II of Spain's half-brother, 22-year-old Don Juan of Austria, stopped their eastern foe from overrunning Christian Europe. In September, Pope Pius V appealed to all of Christendom, and especially to the convents and religious houses around Rome, to double their prayers and saying the rosary, in order that the Holy League would be victorious. The Pope gave every ship a small piece of the true cross, and as the Armada put out to sea, the Papal Nuncio blessed each ship as it sailed by. While they waited for the battle to begin, Don Juan heeded the Pope's suggestion and enforced a strict code of conduct on his men. No women were allowed on board, and Don Juan and all his officers and crew fasted for 3 days. Every last one of the 81,000 men, officers, crew, and even galley slaves went to confession and received Holy Communion. Teams of Jesuits, Franciscans, Capuchins, and Dominican priests worked round the clock for days to accomplish this massive task. The galley slaves, many of whom were considered the scum of the earth, were unshackled and taken to the nearby Jesuit college so they too could receive the sacraments. Immediately before the battle, Don Juan, with a crucifix raised aloft, circled his fleet to offer a final sign of encouragement. His frigate sailed under the standard of Our Lady of Guadalupe, whereas the Pope's fleet sailed under the image of Christ crucified. The Turks had 287 galleys, and they far outnumbered the Holy League, which only had 208. But many attribute the Catholic resounding victory to behaviour of the men and the intercession of Our Blessed Mother and her Holy Rosary. The Turks lost 224 ships and 25,000 men, and 10,000 Christian slaves were freed. Pope Pius was working in the Vatican just as the battle concluded, when something drew him to an open window. He knew instantly that the Holy League had prevailed. To commemorate the greatest battle in the history of the Church, Pius designated October the 7th the Feast of the Holy Rosary and the Feast of Our Lady of Victories. So that's a pretty significant accomplishment of the rosary there. So we also have, there's quite a few things here, but I'm just going to stick to the main ones. So you've got King Galicia, and King Alfonso wanted his subjects to pray the rosary. So as an example, he wore a rosary on his belt. As a result, many of his subjects in his kingdom prayed the rosary. Interestingly, King Alfonso never did himself. Once, when King Alfonso was critically injured in battle, he had a vision whereby our Lord was about to condemn him to hell. Suddenly, he saw a lady with some scales. She put on all his sins on one side, and on the other were all he helped promulgate. The rosaries outweighed the sins, and he was spared. From then on, King Alfonso prayed the rosary with great devotion and did everything in his power to promote it. Propagating the rosary saved the king from eternal damnation. How powerful is the rosary? Okay, it's 3 o'clock, time for Divine Mercy. And so this is a beautiful prayer, especially powerful when someone is dying. So if you're at somebody's deathbed, make sure you say the Divine Mercy prayer for them. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I believe in God, the Holy Father, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will always come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his Son, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mortal One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Now, if you are pregnant and worried, there is a fantastic organisation in Auckland who can help. It's Family Life International, 0800-4-LIFE. So Family Life International. So don't think that you're alone. There is always a friendly ear at the end of that phone number. Please try it out. Okay, getting back to instances of the Rosary, you've got the French Revolution in 1789, and the French peasants, in Bretagne and Vendée kept the faith during the onslaught of the French Revolution, and they prayed the Rosary. Now, we've talked about Fatima quite often, but when it was approved by the local bishop in 1930, the following year, 30,000 people were present on the 13th of May when the Portuguese bishops consecrated Portugal to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And as a result of that consecration, there was a huge renewal of faith throughout Portugal, which included a drastic upsurge in priestly vocation. So it was quite ridiculously profound. Then in 1936, the Portuguese bishops promised Our Lady that they would renew their consecration if she spared Portugal from the effects of the bloody Spanish Civil War right on their doorstep. Pius XII acknowledged that this consecration saved Portugal from communism and the Spanish Civil War. Now, in 1938, the Portuguese bishops once more publicly consecrated Portugal to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. On the 6th of February 1938, Sister Lucy confirmed that the Portuguese bishops consecrated had indeed saved the country. Now, in 1945, you had the nuclear bomb fell on Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Now, on the 6th of August 1945, one of these nuclear bombs was dropped right on Hiroshima, and at the epicenter, there were 8 Jesuit priests, and they lived just a mile away from where the bomb was dropped. Miraculously, they survived, while all those around them were killed. Now, the men were examined by over 200 scientists and doctors. Why did they survive? And they had a very simple answer. Because we were living the message of Fatima and we prayed the rosary every day. Now, in 1945 as well, Austria, after World War II, the bishops noticed that their seminaries were empty and the people's faith was lukewarm. So they called a synod. And the problem? Due to the war and the subsequent disruption to family life, the family rosary had been neglected. So the bishops began promoting the family rosary, and within a very short time, the seminaries were full. So these are just a few of the absolutely fantastic examples. I'm going to continue with more of them next week, but there is one. It's about Austria, and it was quite extraordinary what happened in Austria when the rosary was promoted. So let's see, I've got it here in front of me. Okay, in 1945, after World War II, Austria was occupied by four nations, Russia, Britain, France, and the US. Post-war conditions in Austria were fraught. Food was in short supply, and the industries, especially in the mineral-rich area occupied by the Russians, were not being well managed. The Austrian people desperately wanted to regain their independence, but how could a small country like Austria expel a communist nation the size of Russia? Anyway, a father, Petrus Pavlicek, a Capuchin priest, decided to visit Marisol, which is the main Marian shrine in Austria, to seek Our Lady's counsel. It was the 2nd of February, the Feast of Our Lady of Lights. It's actually also the Feast of the Purification. And as he prayed, Father Petrus heard an inner voice say, "Do as I say and you will have peace." Father remembered Lepanto, and how the Holy Crusade helped Christendom defeat the greatest enemy it ever faced. So in September 1948, Father Petrus began the crusade of reparation of the Holy Rosary through the intercession of Our Lady of Fatima. Now, it had three aims: the conversion of sinners, peace of the world, and freedom for Austria. The Bishop of Leyra, Portugal, helped Father Petrus secure a pilgrim statue of Our Lady of Fatima by the very same artist who made the original pilgrim statue for Fatima. Father Petrus' intention was to storm heaven as soldiers storm a fort, with Holy Mass and Rosary processions a central part of his plan. Father Petrus was also deeply concerned about souls and spent literally days at a time confessional. Father's plan was to get 10% of Austrians to pledge to pray the Holy Rosary each day. After a fairly slow start, more and more people joined in, even the Prime Minister and members of the Cabinet. The Rosary processions, which were held each month on the 13th, became so big it was decided to hold an annual one in Vienna on the 12th of September, to commemorate the city's famous victory over the Turks in 1682. Prime Minister Leopold Figge always led the procession. Now, protracted peace negotiations, which included 260 meetings in London between the four occupying nations, never made any progress. However, Our Lady is a faithful mother. On the 13th of May 1955, the four occupying countries finally agreed to withdraw from Austria. The agreement was signed 2 days later. The last communist soldier left Austria on the 26th of October 1955 without a single shot being fired. And exactly 1 year later, would you believe, on the 13th of May 1956, Austria held its first independent elections. We're going to finish the program today with that beautiful "He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother." Knows well, who knows?